Hey there, this is Seth Juarez here at Ignite 2015. There are some Devi stuffs happening here, and I wanted to talk with you today, Rob Howard. Tell us a little about who you are and what you do.
So I'm a program manager on the Office Extensibility team. So I work on APIs for Office clients and servers and our services in Office 365.
That's fantastic. So what new things are coming out? I know at Build last week, we talked to some more Office people about how to embed apps into existing applications. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, so I mean, from the Office developer platform perspective, we kind of think of there as being two big things. One is kind of embedding custom experiences inside of the Office apps, and other is all that data that's up there in Office 365, users' calendars, their directory, their files in OneDrive for Business. And we've got a bunch of APIs that allow you to get to those services and build custom applications based on that.
Got it. It seems like you'd have to learn a lot about each of the products to sort of understand. Is that the case?
Yeah, I mean, historically, you know, the SharePoint, Exchange, Active Directory all grew up independently. They had their own APIs, in fact, all kinds of different technologies. Over the last year or so, we've started to build a bunch more common APIs, REST APIs that look very similar to get to those same things. And actually, this last week, we announced a unified endpoint for all those APIs. So you can go to one endpoint on graph.microsoft.com, and you can get to users' files and their mail and their calendar and their organizational directory, all with one API that's all connected and uses one protocol and one off mechanism.
That's fantastic. So instead of having to go and do your PowerPoint stuff or your Word stuff or your Exchange stuff, now there's one place where you go to get access to everything on O365. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's still some workloads that aren't integrated into the one unified endpoint. I mean, we're just previewing it this release. We've got stuff from SharePoint, from OneDrive for Business, from Exchange, and from Azure Active Directory in there now. We previewed some new stuff coming from like OneNote and the Office Graph and things like that. And we'll keep adding more and more in there until everything's in there.
That's awesome. So the idea is to eventually have it all under this unified API so we all feel like we're getting hugged by Office. That's going to be great.
Yeah.
You have
That's
something to show us to get started?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've got this API Explorer here. It's an Azure Web App and graphexplorer2.azurewebsites.net if you want to try it out on your own Office 365 tenant. When you sign in the upper right-hand corner, it'll take you to our endpoint on graph.microsoft.com. You see there's a version there for beta. And then this is actually the microsoft.com directory. So this is actually like the Microsoft IT directory that we're inside of.
Got it. So if you were in a different organization, that would be whatever your organization is.
Right. If you worked at Contoso, you'd see beta/contoso.com. Yeah. So you can go in here and do basic queries like I can do /users, and I can get back all the users inside the Microsoft.com IT tenant. So I think this usually shows up like a conference room first or some sort of.
So is this like an explorer for your own organization to see how to get started, just to figure out what you're calling and what you're getting back?
Yeah, this is just a simple web app that's letting you explore the API service, this unified endpoint on graph.microsoft.com.
That's awesome.
And so you can sign into it with your own organization. You can iterate through it. All right, let's take a look at this demo. So I'm in the context of the Microsoft IT tenant. I'm looking at all of the users that are in the Microsoft IT tenant, and I can drill into specific users just by adding a segment on there. So if I want to look at BryJones@Microsoft.com, I can just add that in there. It'll make a request and get me just the metadata for Brian. You can see really simple, clean JSON. It tells me all the information about Brian, all of his metadata. I can drill in even further, and this is where the really cool stuff about the graph happens. I can say /files on him, and now it's going to know that instead of going to the directory, I actually need to go out to OneDrive for Business in order to retrieve Brian's files in OneDrive for Business that I have.
Got it. So this is now, it was looking at one part, and now that you went to files, it knows to go to this other part.
Absolutely, and I can continue navigating. So I can click in on a specific file here and look at the metadata for that particular file, and I can keep navigating to related stuff. So I can say, for example, who's the user that created it by going to created by user. And when I hit created by user, it's going to pull back not information from SharePoint about who that user is, but again, all the way from the directory.
Got it.
And I can even keep navigating, like I can go /manager off of that and pull all of that information, that scenario we were talking about where you have a file, you've got the last user that modified it, and you want to see who their manager is. You can do that in a single call with a graph, and it's able to route them. If I look at, say, $what if in the query string here, it'll show you how it's decomposing that. This aggregator is understanding, here's two different requests that I need to make in order to answer that question for you, and these are the ones that it's making on the back end.
Now, is it going to make the optimal request every time?
Yeah, absolutely. If it can do the requests in parallel, it'll do them in parallel and then stitch them together, like in the case of if you request a user, and I'm going to get the user photo from Exchange, but I'm going to get the rest of the metadata from Azure Active Directory, it will do those in parallel. In this case, because I have to first go get the file and the user that modified it, it's going to do them in serial. So it's first going to go get the file metadata and get the user that created it, and then it's going to go resolve that in the directory. You can see those two requests in serial there.
How do you protect against like a select n plus one? Like you have, here's the users, let's get their files. Is it going to go for each user? Is it going to get all the files for all the users? Or how does that work?
So for a lot of entities, you can actually select it, and then you can do what we call an expand. So you can go to that node, you can do a dollar expand in the query string and say which related entity you want to retrieve, and it'll pull them both back in one request. Sometimes that's a really expensive operation, so we'll actually tell you, no, we can't do that particular request. But for most requests, we can actually serve that.
That's fantastic. Well, thanks so much for showing us that demo.
Yeah, absolutely.
As it's getting feedback, what are the kind of things that you can do with each of these APIs? So give me an example of a business case where you'd be like, I totally need to get on this right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So you know, one of the kind of prototypical scenarios we have is ones that are totally reasonable business cases, like, hey, I have a file. I see the person who authored that file or who last modified that file. And I want to go and find them. I want to know what department they're in, or I want to know if they're in the office or who their manager is.
Got it.
And any of those scenarios, you have to call like five different products to do them, because you got to call OneDrive for Business to figure out who that user is.
Right.
You get back their user ID. You then connect to Azure Active Directory, and you figure out what department they're in, or connect to Exchange and get their free busy information. And this API lets you do that all in one set of calls. So you can address that file and say, just give me the user who created it and get back their department or their manager or whatever other metadata you want.
So instead of logging into OneDrive and then logging into user management and then logging into perhaps Outlook or whatever, you just log in once and then you start to access the resources that you want. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. And there's one API for it. So going from, say, a file to the user that modified it is just navigating to, you know, the file and then slash created by user, and then you get the last user that created it.
That's perfect. So do you have any code? Is there anything we can do to get started? Is there an SDK? How does it work?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you go to dev.office.com, that's where all of our developer content is. So that's the place to go get started. You can register for the developer program there. We've got a bunch of content on the Unified APIs there. So if you go to dev.office.com/unified-APIs, there's a bunch of information there. And we've got a bunch of SDKs that are available as part of the preview. So we've got them for .NET, we've got them for Android, for iOS, for JavaScript. And you can start building on these APIs. We've got a bunch of sample code up there, too, in the same place.
That's awesome. So if someone wants to get started, what is the best way to do that, do you think?
Probably go up to dev.office.com and check out the sample code. There's a bunch of articles on there on unified APIs, and you can read all about it. But nothing really brings it home like actually downloading some code, hitting F5, and going for it.
Got it. So it seems like how much work went to actually unifying these things? It feels like there's a lot of work in there.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a ton of work in there. And really, one of the things we want to drive home is that these APIs that people are using today, the Office 365 APIs, the REST APIs on Exchange and on SharePoint, it's not that we're creating a new set of APIs. We're actually going through those same APIs, but through this endpoint, graph.microsoft.com.
So if
you have some code that's running against, say, the Files API today, you can take that same code, just change the endpoint to call graph.microsoft.com instead of whatever your SharePoint tenant URL is. And that'll just work against that new API, and you'll get the benefit of being able to call those other services in the same way. So all of the work really went into that kind of, we call it the aggregator service that's at the core of that request that can look at the request and understand, hey, do I need to go to Exchange to answer this question or SharePoint to answer this question, or maybe even both? There are lots of cases actually where data is spread around Office 365. Like in the case of a user, there's a ton of data in Azure Active Directory. But if you want to get the user's high-def photo, that's actually stored in your Exchange mailbox. Or if you want your OOF status or your skills list or your bio, that's in SharePoint.
Right.
So in order to give you a full picture of the user, we actually have to go to all those different places. And the aggregator can do that. You can call graph.microsoft.com, ask for information about a user, and you'll get back all of that metadata from across all those services as one response.
So architecturally speaking, the Graph API lives on top of all of the other APIs. And when a request comes in, it sort of divvies out the work.
Yeah, absolutely. We run it in the same gateway layer that serves, say, Azure AD requests today to their Graph API. And that thing looks at the request and, based on the schema of all the registered APIs, knows how to go and send them out to separate APIs and then federate the responses.
I see. That's fantastic. So that brings us to the next and more importantly, the question of authorization and security and all that stuff. How is that handled? Because it looks like we have this thing sitting on top and you log in once, how is all that stuff working? Is there like an OAuth flow that you need to follow?
Yeah, absolutely. So today, the Office 365 APIs use Azure Active Directory's OAuth implementation. You register for an application there. You can go through the typical OAuth flow and get some access tokens. You have to get one access token to each one of the services you want to call, so that can be a little bit painful. But that same flow works against the unified endpoint. So you get one access token, you call graph.microsoft.com, That thing will handle federating out and handle getting whatever SDS tokens it needs to behind the scenes. All you get as a developer is just that one token to call graph.microsoft.com. You do that one OAuth flow. And we're actually working on a unification where we can handle both Azure Active Directory users and Microsoft account users, consumer users, from a single OAuth flow, from a single app registration, all through that aggregator layer.
So let's see, let's take a step back, see if I understand. You have to get tokens for each of the applications you want to do, but you do that one time, and you're done. And then once you get the token for the Graph API that lives on top, then it takes care of managing those tokens. Is that right?
Well, yeah. So you actually don't even have to do that thing anymore. You used to have to get one for each of the applications you talk to. That's what you do today in the production APIs. In this new API, you just get one for the Graph,
that's
and the Graph
better.
Handles figuring out all the other stuff behind the scenes.
Have you seen anybody start to use this in interesting ways? What are people doing with this?
Yeah. So there's a company called Smartsheet that we started working with really just like 2 or 3 weeks ago. We gave them sort of early access to the API. We let them go to town on it. They actually created this really cool application called the Smartsheet Work Map. And it allows you to take some Smartsheet data and then get these cool 3D visualizations of all the related data in Office 365. So if you have like a case study inside of Smartsheet, and you select that case study, it'll show you all the emails related to that case study and all of the meetings related to it and the files in OneDrive for Business in this kind of cool 3D view over a map of all the users in the organization.
And that was done in 3 weeks?
Yeah, they did it. Actually, they did it in 2 weeks because we showed it at Build last week. We're able to pull it all together. They said the vast majority of work was on all the 3D visualizations too, rather than actually integrating with the API. So it was really cool to see.
I love the way that we're actually treating data like data in Office 365, and obviously it's not a database,
right?
But it's a repository of information where users are really putting stuff in. It'd be great to be able to unify that information. This is really good stuff.
Awesome, thanks.
So just a little reminder, where can devs go to get started?
Dev.office.com is the place to go. There's a ton of information about all sorts of Office development. If you want to do stuff around extending Office API or the Office experiences by creating those add-ins, or you want to take advantage of Office data, you can find all that information on dev.office.com. And in particular, if you want to look at this unified API stuff, you just go to dev.office.com/unified API.
That's fantastic. So as a developer, The way I learn best is by looking at actual code. Do you have code samples anywhere?
Yeah. If you go up to dev.office.com, if you go to Unified API, there's a bunch of code samples up there to check out. There's a bunch of articles, too, and some SDKs. But I love the code sample route. I'm always a big fan of find something that works, download it, hit F5, try it, and pick it apart. And there's a bunch of samples up there.
And since it's a RESTful API, you really have no boundaries on what kind of languages or platforms you can use. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. You can use it from wherever you want. There's a really cool plugin that the Azure Active Directory guys built for Angular, so you can use ADEL Angular to do all of your auth. And then build a really slick Angular app just calling the REST APIs directly. They're JSON APIs, so they're returning JavaScript. You don't even need an SDK at that point.
That's awesome.
And build some really powerful APIs on whatever platform you're on. It's just REST and JSON. So.
That's awesome. Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us. Thanks for watching again. We're at Ignite 2015. We're excited to be here, and we will catch you guys next time. Take care.